The Old Testament reading for the Festival of the Holy Trinity is from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence.' Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do you marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again'? The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you of earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. The Catholic faith is this:
that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance.
For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Spirit is almighty.
And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are
just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also we are prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords.
The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and the unity in Trinity is to be worshipped. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe in the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And therefore, it is the right faith that we believe in the Christ of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in the same time, both God and man.
He is God, begotten of the substance of the Father before all ages. He is man, born of the substance of his mother in this age. Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity.
Although he is not a man, he is not two, but one Christ.
One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into the flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by the universal.
Whereas the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again,
ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire.
This is the death of faith. Whoever does not believe faithfully and firmly
will be saved. Grace, you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Athanasius, the 4th century bishop, scourge of the Arians, a man who stood contra mundum, against the whole world, whose name has been applied to the creed that we just confessed, even though it isn't really his. In his writings, he used to contrast things about the Trinity. He would talk about God known according to what he did, and he would talk about God known according to his essential nature. We know about the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ according to what he did. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit by the Virgin Mary. We know about the eternal Son according to his essential nature, uncreated, infinite, eternal. Only begotten Son of the Father, begotten of the Father before all worlds. We know of both of these things by the means of revelation. In history, we could observe the virgin birth and the life of Jesus, which is what the shorter creeds capture, but to see the child of Bethlehem as eternal God, to see that same grown child lifted up on a tree as God for us, requires revelation and faith in that revelation. Without faith, without the testimony of the Spirit, we would just see a baby in a manger because his parents were poor and oppressed. We would just see a man dying horribly because he was deluded and oppressed. God, according to what he did, requires the humility of accepting revelation. Likewise, even more so, knowing God in his nature requires accepting his revelation. If I have told you of earthly things and you did not believe, how could you believe if I told you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Isaiah's first line of his prophetic call appears like it is just a capture of a date according to what happened. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting up on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. But bringing King Uzziah into it brings King Uzziah's story. And bringing the king's story brings a remarkable contrast with Isaiah. Uzziah, if you exclude the founder of the dynasty David, was probably the second best king Israel ever had, following David's son Solomon. The chronicler says of Uzziah, He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He set himself to seek God. And if you've read about Israel's kings, you know how rare that is. It reminds me of a social media joke that made its way around this week. The only time that biblical history hits the corporate media is when they think they have disproved it in some way, usually around Easter. So CNN triumphantly tweets out, "Archaeological find proves ancient Israel ate non-kosher fish." And the immediate response of Christian Witt was, "Prophets proved correct, calling Israel to repentance." If a single reporter at CNN had read the story of Kings, they wouldn't have stepped on that rake. A king like Uzziah, who sought God, was rare. And Uzziah reigned 52 years, an almost unimaginable length of time, from when he was 16 until presumably 68. The chronicler's report of him has him repeating some of David's triumphs over the Philistines. And his fame and influence are reaching into Egypt like Solomon. His reign even has some eschatological overtones as the walls of Jerusalem are fortified and vineyards and cisterns are built in the wilderness because he loved the soil. The Lord had blessed Uzziah in what he had done. It's here that Uzziah's story takes something of a tragic turn. Uzziah grew proud, and he determined to enter the temple and offer his own incense before the altar of incense. Uzziah, blessed in seeing all that the Lord had done for him in action, demanded to see the Lord, to be in the presence of the Lord's essence. And his desire to seek the Lord in this way was so strong that he was going to fight 80 priests who confronted him on his way. Just at that time, Uzziah was struck with leprosy on his head. Uzziah seemed to recognize what it meant himself, and he fled the temple. And he spent the last years of his reign in a separate house, outside of the temple completely, sharing the government with his son. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And instead of Uzziah's bold assertions that he was uniquely qualified to see God, how did Isaiah react at the gift of his vision? First, he cowered at it. "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King." The seeing of the King in all his majesty is not something that we can demand. It's something that comes in humility. It's something we see when we see God lifted up, high and exalted. Now, Nicodemus, a man of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews, comes to Jesus in the spirit of Uzziah. "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, but we should see this as the false humility that Jesus' responses tell us it is." Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, has come to suss out and instruct this young rabbi. Look, we see all the things you do, Jesus. But let me tell you something about God in his nature. And when you understand what we have to tell you, then you might be on our side. But Jesus immediately tells Nicodemus that you must be born again, which Nicodemus doesn't see. How can one be born again? So Jesus makes it a bit plainer. Be born of water and the Spirit, which should have been clear from the baptism of John. But of course, the Pharisees of Jerusalem had rejected John. Nicodemus, if you want to talk of the essential nature of God, you don't just march before him as if he owes you an audience. You don't come like Uzziah. But this response puzzled Nicodemus even more. How can these things be? If I'm not qualified to understand and see, how is anyone? To which Jesus asks him rhetorically, "You are the teacher of Israel? And you don't get these things? You came here to show me God, Nicodemus. You haven't even seen how the Spirit blows through the real world according to the deeds of God. How can you talk about God as how he is? You don't even know that God is standing right in front of you, that you are right now talking with God." One of the seraphim that Isaiah saw floating with their six wings breaks off and takes some of the incense from the altar and touches it to Isaiah's lips, pronounces him clean. "Your guilt is taken away." And this leads Isaiah's second response to seeing of the vision. He believed it. He believed it such that when the king is debating with himself, "Who will go for us?" Isaiah stands up and says, "Here I am. I'm still here, God. Send me." We don't get the final story of Nicodemus right here. But Jesus issues some of that same call. The Son of Man is to be lifted up just like the serpent Moses lifted up that healed all of the people. Except that when the Son of Man is lifted up, he gives eternal life to all who believe this. God has sent his Son into the world for love. The essential nature of God is love. For God so loved the world that he shared himself. You have seen God. You have seen his essential nature when you have seen this cross. This is the love of God for you. And you are in the presence of God before this altar. The body and blood of God are given here for you. If you don't recognize the body and blood here, don't come. It will be just like Uzziah. You don't get the vision of God because you demand it. You can't earn it. The Spirit blows where it will. The vision comes only in the year Uzziah dies. But it's here that the coal from the altar will make you clean. Here are the things of heaven brought down for you. Here is the essence of the love of God, given to you by the work of God. And this is known and given to those who have been born again by water and the Spirit. Nicodemus is mentioned two other times by John. A few chapters later, Nicodemus stands up in front of the entire ruling council and defends Jesus' actions. But it might be his last appearance that is the most meaningful today, at the burial of Jesus. According to John, it's Nicodemus who brings the incense. 75 pounds of myrrh and aloes offered before God. The man who had once barged in front of God like Uzziah with his incense, asserting knowledge. After the cross, humbly brings the incense after he has seen the Son of Man lifted up. It's in the year that King Uzziah dies that we see the Lord. It's the year that our pride dies, that the love of God has space to enter our hearts. It's when we try to stop trying to teach God that He is able to teach us. God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that it might be saved through Him. That cross stands eternally before the entire world. The Spirit testifies to its power. There is eternal life. Eternal life for whoever can hear and believe. Whom shall I send? I have sent my Son. My only Son. Amen.